The old wise trees have something incredible to teach us. As they stand tall amidst tempestuous winds and heavy rain, they do not argue, resist, or complain. They simply are. They bend, sway, and occasionally break, but they do so with a profound grace, accepting the strength of the storm. What does it mean to truly accept? What strength lies in surrendering, in acknowledging, in seeing reality for what it truly is without the tinted lenses of our expectations, fears, or desires? To accept is not to give up or resign, but to acknowledge the inherent nature of things, freeing us from the chains of needless suffering and angst. At the crossroads of philosophy, spirituality, and psychology lies the profound practice of acceptance, a realm where we are invited to engage with life not as we wish it to be, but as it truly is. In an age of customization, where we can adjust everything from our morning latte to the theme of our mobile devices, the world seems to revolve around our preferences. However, life, in its most raw and unfiltered form, doesn't always adhere to our presets. We encounter roadblocks, unanticipated challenges, and unexpected turns. And in these moments, we often resist, fight, and resent. The dissonance between what is and what we desire can be a source of profound distress. Enter the phrase, "It is what it is." It's a mantra you've probably heard countless times, in diverse contexts. From the world of sports to the arenas of business, from quiet meditative retreats to bustling urban streets, these words resonate. They might come across as passive, even dismissive, but beneath their simplicity lies a depth of wisdom that philosophers and thinkers have explored and expounded upon for millennia. At its core, this phrase isn't about indifference or defeat. It's about recognition, recognizing the innate nature of a situation, of an emotion, of a challenge. It's a bridge that spans the gap between expectation and reality. When we utter these words, we're not shrugging off responsibility or giving up hope. We're grounding ourselves in the present, shedding the weight of what-ifs and if-onlys. Throughout history, many have delved into this very principle. Stoic philosophers in ancient Greece emphasized the importance of discerning between what we can control and what we cannot, urging us to invest our energies wisely. Eastern philosophies often echo similar sentiments, guiding disciples to flow like water, to adapt, to find peace not by reshaping the world around them, but by reshaping their perceptions and reactions. It's captivating to realize that while our modern world seems vastly different from the eras of Epictetus or Lao Tzu, the essence of human experience remains remarkably consistent. We have always sought peace, understanding, and a way to navigate the tumultuous seas of existence. And across cultures, epochs, and ideologies, the philosophy of acceptance emerges as a beacon. Yet, understanding the depth and breadth of this philosophy requires more than just nodding at a popular phrase. It beckons a journey through time, thought, and introspection. To embrace the art of acceptance is to weave the lessons of great thinkers, from Stoic philosophers to modern psychologists, into the very fabric of our existence. As we embark on this journey together, let's dive deeper into the realm of acceptance. Through the lenses of luminaries who've graced our world, we'll explore the true essence of acceptance, its transformative power, and the serenity it promises to those who truly comprehend and practice it. Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them. Epictetus. Born into the harsh confines of servitude, Epictetus's life as a slave in Rome would be far from what many might consider fortuitous. Yet from these very confines sprouted a philosophy so profound that its reverberations continue to shape our understanding of acceptance and control to this day. a limping figure, a consequence of his leg being broken by his master, Epictetus eventually gained his freedom. He would later set up a school in Nicopolis, teaching a philosophy that often pivoted on the dynamics of control. At the heart of his teachings lies the profound differentiation between things we can control and things we cannot. This demarcation is not just an observation, but a tool, a compass, if you will, for navigating the often tumultuous waters of existence. Imagine standing at the edge of a vast, swirling ocean. The waves crash against the shore, each with its force, rhythm, and direction. You stand there with a bucket, hoping to direct the tide. A fool's errand, you might say, and you'd be right. This is how many of us live our lives, attempting to steer the vast and uncontrollable forces around us, inevitably leading to frustration, disappointment, and often despair. Instead, Epictetus would say, focus on the bucket, how you hold it, when you choose to fill it, and where you pour the water, that's within your grasp. Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them. This quote crystallizes Epictetus's philosophy beautifully. It's not the external events, but our perceptions and judgments about them that unsettle us. The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, or even something as mundane as a passing comment from a stranger, these events in themselves are neutral. They become agents of joy, sorrow, anger, or indifference based on the interpretations we bestow upon them. But here's where it becomes transformative. If our judgments disturb us more than the events themselves, then doesn't it follow that we have the power to choose our reactions? This isn't about deluding oneself or painting a facade of positivity over everything. It's about understanding the inherent nature of events as indifferent, and then recognizing our capacity to decide our response. For Epictetus, the realm of control extends primarily over our own will, our own decisions. While we can't command the weather, we can choose to carry an umbrella. While we can't decide the actions of another, we can decide our response. While we can't always dictate the outcome, we can always control the effort. What's intriguing is how this philosophy is not just a passive acceptance, but an active engagement with life. It's about taking responsibility for our domain, the internal realm of our thoughts, feelings, and decisions. It's about recognizing that while we cannot dance to the whims of fate, we can choose the steps we take, the rhythm we adopt, and the grace with which we move. Adopting such a mindset can be transformative. Consider the daily irritations and stresses that we encounter. Traffic jams, an unkind word, a delay in plans. All these can spiral into torrents of distress if we let them. But what if, heeding Epictetus's words, we paused and asked ourselves, is this within my control? If it isn't, can we then refocus our energy on what is? Our response, our attitude, our next move. In today's world, where we're inundated with information, where challenges seem multifaceted and often overwhelming, the wisdom of a former slave from ancient Rome seems more pertinent than ever. By delineating the boundaries of our control, we don't restrict ourselves, we empower ourselves. We find clarity, purpose, and importantly, serenity. As we reflect on Epictetus's teachings, it's an invitation. An invitation to engage with the world not as hapless victims of circumstance, but as empowered individuals, ever ready, ever resilient, capable of finding tranquility amidst the storm. Because in understanding what we can and cannot change, we uncover the art of true acceptance, a dance of grace in the face of life's ever-changing circumstances. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Lao Tzu. Glimmers of wisdom often find their source in ancient civilizations, where spiritual sages, in their communion with nature, deciphered the rhythms and patterns of existence. Among such luminaries was Lao Tzu, a mystic whose name translates to the Old Master. Though shrouded in layers of myth and time, his insights form the cornerstone of Taoism, a philosophy and spiritual path that emphasizes living in harmony with the Tao, often translated as the Way. Imagine, if you will, standing at the edge of a serene river, its waters flowing gently, moving around rocks and bends with ease, never rushing, never dallying, but always unfailingly reaching its destination. This imagery captures the essence of Taoist thought, for Taoism suggests that life, much like that river, has its currents, its natural flow, and our journey becomes harmonious when we align ourselves with this flow rather than resist it. This brings us to the concept of Wu Wei, a term that might seem paradoxical to many. Translated as non-doing or non-action, it doesn't advocate for inactivity or passiveness. Instead, it is the art of effortless action, of acting without forcing, of letting things unfold naturally, without imposition or opposition. A tree doesn't strive to grow, it simply grows. A bird doesn't struggle to fly, it just flies. Nature doesn't labor, it simply is. This is the essence of Wu Wei. In our lives, when we're constantly pushing, forcing, and striving, we might achieve short-term victories, but they often come at the cost of inner peace and long-term sustainability. Wu Wei encourages us to approach life with a sense of trust in the natural order, to act when necessary, but without unnecessary force or struggle. Lao Tzu's words eloquently capture this essence. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. In a world where change is the only constant, how often do we find ourselves battling these natural shifts? Whether it's an unexpected life event, a sudden shift in plans, or even the inexorable march of time, resisting these changes is like attempting to halt the river's flow with our bare hands, not only futile, but also exhausting. This doesn't imply passivity or resignation. Quite the contrary. Flowing with the Tao, practicing Wu Wei, means being acutely attuned to the situation, understanding when to act and when to wait, when to speak and when to remain silent. It's a dance, sometimes leading, sometimes following, but always in tune with the music of existence. In the context of our modern world, with its relentless pace and ubiquitous challenges, Wu Wei serves as a beacon. Imagine approaching challenges not as obstacles to be bulldozed, but as puzzles to be understood. Consider the possibility of addressing conflicts not with aggressive confrontation, but with insightful diplomacy. Picture a life where we respond not from a place of panicked urgency, but from a space of calm clarity. In embracing Lao Tzu's teachings, we're invited to reconsider our relationship with life itself. Rather than a battlefield strewn with challenges to overcome, life becomes a landscape to traverse, filled with mysteries to understand and wonders to behold. By surrendering to the flow of the Tao, by practicing the art of Wu Wei, we don't relinquish control, we find it in a deeper, more profound manner. We begin to realize that true mastery isn't about dominating our external world, but understanding and harmonizing with it. The wisdom of Lao Tzu echoing across millennia is not just philosophical musing, but practical guidance. As we ponder his teachings, we might reflect on moments in our lives where resistance brought pain, where force led to failure, and how, with the insights of Wu Wei, we might approach similar situations differently in the future. The river of life is vast, filled with twists and turns. But with the compass of Taoist wisdom, we can navigate it with grace, understanding, and an inner serenity that remains undisturbed by external tumult. Accept whatever comes to you woven in the pattern of your destiny. For what could more aptly fit your needs? Marcus Aurelius. Amidst the ornate tapestry of history, Marcus Aurelius stands as a testament to the fusion of authority with wisdom. A Roman emperor, commander of legions, ruler of an expanse that touched the known boundaries of the world, yet it was in the quiet corners of his tent, often on military campaigns, that he penned reflections that would become the Meditations, a seminal work on Stoic philosophy. Here was a man vested with power and privilege, yet he sought counsel not in the echoing halls of grandeur, but in the introspective embrace of philosophy. Central to Marcus Aurelius's reflections is the idea that the universe operates with a natural order, a logic, an inherent rhythm. For him, everything happens in accordance with nature. Seasons change, stars rise and set, rivers flow to the sea, all part of a grand design, an unfolding cosmic dance. When we resist or rue this natural progression, we find ourselves out of sync, creating internal discord. However, by aligning our will with this grand design, by understanding and accepting its patterns, we find a harmony that's both external and internal. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Accept whatever comes to you woven in the pattern of your destiny, for what could more aptly fit your needs?" This is a profound call to acceptance. But what does this acceptance entail? It's not about passivity or a blithe resignation to fate. Rather, it's about recognizing the unfolding patterns of existence and finding our place within them. It's the understanding that fighting the universe is a futile endeavor, but flowing with it, recognizing its currents and eddies, allows us to navigate life with a serene resilience. Consider the challenges that Marcus Aurelius faced: wars, plagues, betrayals, and political intrigue. In the face of such adversities, it would have been easy for him to succumb to despair or bitterness. Yet his Stoic beliefs anchored him. In viewing challenges as natural occurrences, as part and parcel of the human experience, he didn't just endure them. He used them as catalysts for growth, for reflection, for deeper understanding. From Marcus's perspective, every event in our lives, be it joyous, challenging or mundane, is an opportunity to learn, to grow, to understand the workings of the universe a little better. When we face hardships, rather than asking why me, the Stoic approach invites us to ask, what can I learn from this? How can this refine my character, strengthen my resolve or deepen my wisdom? By accepting the impermanence of life, by acknowledging that we are but fleeting moments in the grand timeline of the cosmos, Marcus Aurelius advocates for a life lived with purpose, integrity, and acceptance. Every moment becomes precious, every challenge a teacher, every joy a gift. Acceptance in this light isn't a begrudging surrender, but a powerful affirmation of life. What makes Marcus Aurelius's teachings particularly resonant is their practicality. His Stoicism isn't an abstract philosophy, debated in hallowed halls, but a lived experience, tested and refined on the battlegrounds of life. Every entry in the Meditations is a testament to a man trying to live his philosophy, to align his actions with his beliefs, to embrace the natural order even when chaos surrounds him. For us, in the modern age, Marcus Aurelius serves as a guiding light. In a world often fraught with uncertainties, his Stoic wisdom offers a grounded perspective. It reminds us that while we might not have control over the events of the universe, we always have control over our reactions to them. It beckons us to live with authenticity, to seek harmony with the natural order, and to embrace the inherent wisdom of acceptance. As we reflect on Marcus Aurelius's insights, we're invited to see our lives not as isolated events, but as interconnected pieces of a cosmic puzzle. Every experience, every emotion, every challenge and triumph is a thread in the intricate weave of our existence. By recognizing this interconnectedness, by embracing the natural rhythms of life, we find a peace that transcends circumstances, a serenity rooted in profound acceptance. In life, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Buddha. In the lush landscapes of ancient India, beneath the shade of the Bodhi tree, a profound transformation unfolded. Siddhartha Gautama, a prince who had forsaken his royal heritage in pursuit of deeper truths, attained enlightenment and became the Buddha. His journey, from the opulence of a palace to the austerity of ascetic life, weaves a rich tapestry that has profoundly influenced philosophical and spiritual thought across millennia. The Buddha, the Enlightened One, shared the wisdom that blossomed from his enlightenment through various teachings, fundamental among which are the Four Noble Truths. These truths are both profound and pragmatic, addressing the very root of human suffering and charting a path towards liberation. The first noble truth, dukkha, often translated as suffering, posits that life is inherently unsatisfactory, marked by suffering, conflict, and impermanence. It is not a pessimistic view, but rather a realistic observation that in life, pain, loss, and dissatisfaction are inevitable. The second truth, samudaya, attributes this suffering to desire or craving, illustrating that our attachments and aversions to people, things, and concepts generate discontent. Acceptance emerges as a pivotal theme here. Buddha emphasizes the acceptance of suffering as an integral part of human existence. But how does one find peace amidst this inherent suffering? This is where the philosophy weaves into a practice of mindful detachment. Buddha articulated, "You only lose what you cling to." Herein lies a gentle beckoning towards detachment, not as a cold, emotionless state, but as a mindful recognition and acceptance of the transient nature of all things. When we clutch tightly to people, outcomes, or materials, we are perpetually on a tumultuous sea, swayed by the waves of life's vicissitudes. Detachment is like learning to navigate this sea, to sail with skill and wisdom, allowing ourselves to experience fully, yet without being capsized by the inevitable storms. The practice of detachment is deeply intertwined with acceptance. By accepting the impermanent, unsatisfactory nature of life, we free ourselves from the shackles of undue suffering that arises from clinging and craving. This doesn't mean suppressing emotions or denying the pain. It means fully experiencing, understanding, and letting them flow without hindrance, without constructing a permanent dwelling in them. When Buddha speaks of detachment, it's with the recognition that all things are transient, and clinging to them is like trying to grasp at the wind. Possessions, achievements, even loved ones, will eventually pass away or transform. The more we cling, the more we suffer. However, in mindful detachment, we can fully engage with life, experiencing joy, love, and yes, even pain, with a heart that's free and open. This notion brings us to the third and fourth noble truths, Nirodha and Magga, respectively. Nirodha is the cessation of suffering, achievable through relinquishing attachment and desire. While Magga, the path to the cessation of suffering, is outlined in the Eightfold Path, which provides practical guidelines on ethical and mental development to reach enlightenment. Embarking on this path requires a subtle blend of active engagement and gentle acceptance. It invites us to be dynamically present in each moment, to engage with life fully, to drink deeply of each experience, but to do so with open hands, with a spirit that understands the ephemeral nature of all things. Acceptance, then, is not a passive resignation, but an active acknowledgement of what is, without an anxious clinging to what was, or a fervent craving for what might be. His teachings invite us to ponder the true sources of happiness, to examine the roots of our desires, and to contemplate the transient, fleeting nature of all things. Through this, we find a path that meanders through the lush landscapes of deep, authentic living, toward a serene acceptance of life in all its splendid, painful, and ephemeral beauty. My formula for greatness in a human being is amor fati, that one wants nothing to be different, not forward, not backward, not in all eternity. Friedrich Nietzsche. In the rich history of philosophical thought, few figures evoke as much intrigue and controversy as Friedrich Nietzsche. A German philosopher whose work skirted the boundaries of convention, Nietzsche challenged established norms, questioned traditional values, and grappled with the profoundest depths of human existence. With his penetrating insights, Nietzsche traversed areas of morality, religion, and the very essence of life. Among his myriad concepts, one shines brightly as an anthem for embracing the entirety of existence, Amor Fati, which translates to a profound love of fate. This idea is not merely about accepting one's fate, but deeply and passionately loving it. To Nietzsche, life wasn't a sanitized, curated experience wherein one seeks only pleasure and avoids pain. Rather, he viewed life as a holistic journey, where every high and low, every joy and sorrow forms an integral part of our narrative. I want to learn more and more to see as beautiful what is necessary in things. Then I shall be one of those who make things beautiful, he once remarked. This perspective captures the essence of his love of fate philosophy. It's about seeing beauty in the inevitable, in the necessary, and in the challenges that life throws our way. Life, with its tapestry of experiences, is never a linear journey. There are ebbs and flows, peaks of elation and valleys of despair. Many philosophies advocate for contentment, for finding peace amidst the storm. Nietzsche's perspective, on the other hand, encourages not just peace, but a passionate embrace. It's a call to not only endure life's challenges, but to revel in them, to view them as essential threads in the intricate weave of our existence. Imagine life as a grand, complex piece of music. There are crescendos and diminuendos, swift allegros and melancholic adagios. If we were to remove the challenging notes, the sharp and the flat, the music would lose its depth, its resonance. Nietzsche invites us to appreciate every note, every beat, understanding that it's the entirety of the composition that gives it beauty and meaning. But how does one come to love challenges, hardships, or moments of despair? Nietzsche's philosophy is not one of masochism. He doesn't glorify suffering for its own sake. Instead, he sees challenges as opportunities for growth, as crucibles that forge and refine our character. By embracing all of life, including its adversities, we engage in a deeper, more authentic experience of existence. In the vast expanse of human experiences, it's often the challenges that shape us the most. The losses teach us about value, pain informs our empathy, and hardships carve out reservoirs of resilience. When Nietzsche speaks of a love of fate, he beckons us to recognize and honor this transformative power of challenges. By doing so, we shift our perspective from mere endurance to vibrant, passionate engagement with every facet of life. As we traverse the modern landscape with its unique challenges and uncertainties, Nietzsche's insights become particularly resonant. In a world that often seeks instant gratification, his philosophy invites introspection and a deeper engagement with the entire spectrum of existence. In the end, to love one's fate is to embrace life in its totality. It's about dancing in the rain, not just waiting for the storm to pass. It's about cherishing the journey, with all its twists and turns, knowing that every step, every challenge adds depth, meaning, and beauty to our narrative. Nietzsche's clarion call to humanity is both timeless and timely. As we face the complexities of the 21st century, his philosophy provides a lens through which we can view challenges not as burdens, but as opportunities, not as curses, but as gifts. Through the embrace of life's entirety, through a profound love of fate, we find a path to deeper understanding, richer experiences, and ultimately a more authentic, vibrant existence. The desire for security and the feeling of insecurity are the same thing. To hold your breath is to lose your breath. Alan Watts. Alan Watts, a British philosopher, often adorned with a mischievous grin, had an uncanny knack for bridging worlds, melding Eastern philosophical depths with Western intellectual traditions, making the profound accessible and the mystic tangible. Watts, with his eloquent articulation and dynamic delivery, introduced the West to concepts that seemed, at first glance, alien to its empirical and linear mindset, Yet, it was not just a matter of translation. Watts had the ability to weave together disparate philosophical threads into a coherent tapestry that resonated deeply with contemporary seekers. Central to Watts's teachings is a concept that might seem paradoxical: the wisdom of insecurity. At a glance, the very pairing of wisdom with insecurity might appear counterintuitive. In a world that often values stability, certainty, and the familiar, how could there be wisdom in insecurity? For Watts, the relentless pursuit of security, the endless desire to pin down the fleeting and ephemeral, was a mirage. It was not only unattainable, but also a source of profound suffering. He observed that life, by its very nature, is a flux, a constant flow of changing moments. By clinging to certain moments or states and resisting change, we find ourselves perpetually out of sync with reality. Imagine trying to hold on to a river's waters, cupping them tightly in your hands. The more we grasp, the more the water slips through our fingers. Life, Watts asserted, is akin to this river, ever flowing, ever changing. Seeking security in this dynamic dance is like trying to freeze the river in place, an endeavor both futile and frustrating. In our pursuit of permanence and certainty, we construct elaborate edifices of belief, identity, and expectation. Yet beneath these structures lies an undercurrent of anxiety. Deep down, there's a recognition that everything is impermanent. Watts suggested that our suffering stems from this tension between the reality of life's impermanence and our desire for enduring security. However, Watts offered not just a diagnosis, but also a remedy. Instead of resisting the inherent insecurity of life, he proposed leaning into it, embracing the uncertain, the unknown, the fleeting moments as they come and go. By doing so, we align ourselves with the true rhythm of existence. As Watts eloquently stated, the only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. Yet, the wisdom of insecurity is not a call to nihilism or reckless abandon. It's not about disregarding the future or acting impulsively. Rather, it's an invitation to be fully present in each moment, to engage with life authentically and without the heavy baggage of rigid expectations. It's about finding freedom in the recognition that security and permanence are but illusions, and that there's a profound beauty in the ever-shifting dance of life. In an age defined by its uncertainties, where change is the only constant, Alan Watts's teachings resonate with poignant relevance. The anxiety of the modern world often stems from our attempts to forecast, control, and secure our futures. Yet, as Watts suggests, true peace comes from letting go of these illusions, from understanding that life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be experienced. Watts once mused, "There will always be suffering, but we must not suffer over the suffering." In this simple yet profound insight lies the essence of the wisdom of insecurity. It's a gentle reminder that in accepting the inherent uncertainties of life, in dancing with its ever-changing rhythms, we find not chaos, but harmony, not suffering, but joy. As we reflect on Watts' insights, we are reminded that wisdom often lies where we least expect it. In the midst of insecurity, in the embrace of the unknown, there lies a profound wisdom, a path to deeper understanding, richer experiences, and a life lived in tune with the authentic melodies of existence. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Viktor Frankl. Amidst the darkest chapters of human history, voices emerge, not just as mere echoes of despair, but as beacons of hope and profound wisdom. One such voice belongs to Viktor Frankl, an Austrian psychiatrist who endured the harrowing experience of the Holocaust. From the bleak confines of Auschwitz and other concentration camps, Frankl extracted insights that would illuminate the depths of human existence and shape the landscape of existential therapy. Frankl's narrative is not one of passive resignation. Instead, it's an anthem of resilience, purpose, and the indefatigable human spirit. The crucible of his experiences birthed his seminal work, Man's Search for Meaning, a poignant exploration of the human quest for significance amidst adversity. Central to Frankl's philosophy is the idea that even in the gravest of circumstances, individuals can find meaning. Life, according to Frankl, never ceases to have purpose. He wrote, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. It is this freedom, the ability to imbue even suffering with significance, that stands as a testament to human strength and resilience. The concentration camps stripped individuals of every conceivable freedom and dignity. In this dehumanizing environment, Frankl observed that those who found a why to their existence, those who held on to some sense of purpose, were more resilient to the degradation and despair. It wasn't about physical vitality, but about a spiritual strength, an inner conviction that life, despite its brutality, held meaning." Frankl's insights bridged the vast expanse between extreme suffering and the everyday challenges of modern life. Each individual, he posited, has a unique purpose, a singular quest for significance. Suffering, in its myriad forms, is an inevitable aspect of the human condition. Yet Frankl argued that it's not the presence of suffering but the absence of meaning that leads to despair. When faced with hardships, individuals can either view them as pointless tragedies or as opportunities for deeper understanding and growth. This transformative perspective shifts the focus from the avoidance of pain to the pursuit of meaning. It's not about escaping suffering, but about navigating it with a sense of purpose. Even in the face of death, a reality he confronted daily in the camps, Frankl believed that life held potential meaning. Each moment, each interaction, even each loss, could be infused with significance.
Life can be meaningful or made meaningful not only by doing a deed, by creating a work, and beyond that, by our experiencing something or by our encountering someone, and to encounter him in his uniqueness means by loving him. But even if need be, whenever we are confronted with an unchangeable fate, whenever we have to face, say, an incurable disease, an inoperable cancer, even then there is the highest meaning potential to realize, to fulfill. Because then, precisely then, we are called upon to bear witness to the unique human potential, which is to transmute, to turn a predicament into an achievement, a human accomplishment, or to turn tragedy into a triumph.
Frankl's therapeutic approach, known as logotherapy, derives from the Greek word logos, which can be translated as meaning. Unlike psychotherapy models that prioritize pleasure or power, logotherapy emphasizes the human desire for purpose. In this framework, existential vacuums, feelings of emptiness and meaninglessness, are seen as central contributors to modern malaise. It's not the challenges themselves, but the perception of them being pointless that exacerbates suffering. In our contemporary world, replete with its unique challenges and existential anxieties, Frankl's philosophy finds resonant echoes. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, the dissolution of a relationship, or the struggles with personal identity and purpose, the quest for meaning remains paramount. Viktor Frankl, from the depths of despair, offers a lens to view suffering not as an aberration, but as an integral part of the human journey. His life and work serve as a powerful reminder that even in the darkest nights of the soul, stars of meaning and purpose can shine brightly. In the embrace of Frankl's philosophy, we find solace and strength. We are reminded that our lives, with all their challenges, joys, and sorrows, are not random or futile. Each experience, each tear, each laugh carries with it the potential for deeper understanding, growth, and significance. In the end, Frankl's message is both timeless and timely. Life in all its complexity is meaningful. It's upon us, amidst the cacophony of existence, to tune in, listen deeply, and find our unique symphony of significance. as Frankl so poignantly stated, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. In this journey through the landscapes of thought, we've woven together the teachings of diverse minds, each shedding a unique light on the age-old philosophy of acceptance. Epictetus, with the stern discipline of Stoicism, reminds us of the serenity found in discerning between what is within our control and what isn't. Lao Tzu, with the ethereal wisdom of Taoism, beckons us to flow with life's river, emphasizing the beauty of simply letting things be. Marcus Aurelius, the emperor philosopher, illustrates the harmony in aligning ourselves with the natural order, appreciating life's every pulse. Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, elucidates the liberation in understanding and accepting the inherent nature of suffering. Nietzsche, with fervent passion, urges us to embrace life in all its complexities, to find beauty even in hardships. Alan Watts, bridging East and West, unravels the wisdom lying in the heart of insecurity, nudging us to dance to life's ever-changing rhythms. And Viktor Frankl, from the crucible of unimaginable suffering, proffers a beacon of hope, asserting the indomitable spirit's ability to find meaning even in despair. This collection of insights, woven from different threads of time, culture, and experience, highlights a singular truth. Acceptance is not passive resignation. It's an active, conscious choice to embrace life as it is, to find meaning in the mundane and the monumental, and to navigate challenges not with resistance but with understanding. Integrating the art of acceptance into our daily lives is not merely philosophical musing. It's an imperative for holistic well-being. In every curveball life throws, in every unexpected twist, lies an opportunity, a chance to grow, to learn, and to come closer to our authentic selves. Acceptance doesn't diminish life's challenges. It empowers us to face them with grace, courage, and wisdom. As you, dear viewers, step away from this exploration, a challenge lies ahead. Reflect on your life's tapestry, its hues of joys, shadows of challenges, and patterns of experiences. Where can you infuse more acceptance? Which threads can you view not as snags but as integral parts of your unique story? Remember, each philosopher, each thinker was once someone like you, seeking, pondering, growing. You too have the power to transform challenges into stepping stones, to find wisdom in the whirlwinds of life. May you embark on this introspection with an open heart. May you discover pockets of acceptance where once there was resistance. And in doing so, may you find not just serenity, but also a deeper, more profound connection with the intricate, beautiful dance that is life. Embrace it, cherish it, and remember, every moment holds within it the seeds of wisdom waiting to bloom.